Blog Talk Radio.
Family, thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. Isn't that beautiful music, that Eastern theme song of years gone by? We've added another broadcast during the week that we hope you like. It's called From the Eastern Files. This program will be dedicated to memories and stories of former Eastern people and news about the new Eastern, as we feel you might want to hear. These broadcasts will usually be only about 1/2 hour in duration and broadcast in the 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time slot. We may even throw in a music selection or two. The program is not going to be a talk radio format in that we will not take calls during this 1/2 hour. It will be reserved only for Eastern history and news. We will continue to broadcast our normal talk radio call-in live show on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We hope you like this new addition to the new Eastern radio shows From the Eastern Files. So now let's start our program by hearing one of those wonderful TV commercials of the past. Is good, but it's better watched as a TV commercial because the aircraft of Eastern appeared along with beautiful music that you're listening to. Tonight, or today, I should say, 3 p.m., hey, it's going to be hard to get used to this time slot. But tonight we have two stories, or today we have two stories. There, I did it again. The first story is taken from the winter issue of Repartee magazine, the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's magazine that was printed back in 1998. And the story was from Captain Hank Foley. And the story goes like this. It occurred to me recently that the stories we tell of our years with Eastern are always about men. In the early days, of course, the company was made up of men. Some of our younger pilots may not even have heard that before World War II, we had male pursers only and no stewardesses. As the years progressed, there were more and more women working with us until by the time we old Pelican pilots were starting to retire, all airlines were now hiring young ladies as pilots. There are surely many good stories involving our stewardesses, crew schedulers, ground radio operators, and office personnel. I recall some that involved me personally and many that I heard secondhand. You see, I frequently flew the trip from Miami to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands. The en route scenery was very impressive, and we usually made a cabin announcement as we passed over San Salvador, where Columbus made his historic landfall. On one trip, Nancy Gibney was working in the cabin. Nancy was always good-natured and possessed a good sense of humor. After the San Salvador announcement, she came up to the cockpit and remarked how passengers are always interested in Columbus's island. Our first officer was Johnny Cobb, and he told how the famous landfall was made at night, with lights being sighted on shore. The second officer, young Tim Eales, Jr., added the information that the ships had to drift all through the long, dark night before approaching the unknown shore in daylight. In fact, all historians agree that Columbus first discovered the New World at night. Nancy put on a very serious expression, and without cracking a smile, she said, "I guess that's why we hear so often about the Knights of Columbus." Many older pilots will remember a stewardess named Paula Reed, extremely intelligent, charming personality. She had that quality that we often refer to as class. The company recognized this and often called her for VIP flights that might require delicate handling. In fact, at one time, it was a foregone conclusion that on any flight involving very important people, the crew would include Dick Merrill up front and Paula in the back. I'm told that a well-known story that circulated among the airlines and onto news columns and magazines involving the heavyweight champ Muhammad Ali actually occurred on one of Paula's flights. It seems that the fighter didn't fasten his seatbelt. And when Paula came past checking, she asked him to buckle up. He answered, "Superman don't need no safety belt." To which Paula replied, "The real Superman don't need no airplane." Paula was a soul of tact, patience, and understanding, but she wished to be treated with respect. I'm sure it's no secret that some of our pilots were, to put it mildly, grouchy. To put it truthfully, some were impolite, even downright nasty and unsociable. We all remember trips when the meal service was almost physically impossible because of shortness of time, rough air, or a lot of babies on board needing attention. Clever, hardworking flight attendants could always make a go of it by using some tricks. On one such flight, Paula went to the flight deck before takeoff and explained the difficulties and suggested that if she could bring the crew meals up during the climb, they could commence serving passengers as soon as the seatbelt sign went off. Most crews were glad to cooperate. Some even reduced speed just a little when possible. However, on this flight, the captain was evidently having a bad day and growled that he'd take his coffee when the seatbelt sign went off and then directly have his meal brought up and added, "I don't see why I should change my eating habits just to suit your meal service." Paula's response was, "I don't know anything about your habits, but I hope they're better than your manners." Flying out of Miami to our northern cities during the winter was an adventure even to seasoned travelers. On one such trip, there was a new flight attendant just out of school. En route, she came up to the flight deck, obviously thrilled and excited about her new career. After being impressed by all the fancy dials and gadgets, she asked the second officer what the temperature was in Boston. He told her that it was 17 degrees. She paused and then asked, "Is that freezing?" That jolted the second officer a little, and probably without intending to, he looked a bit shocked and answered, "Of course. Anything below 32 degrees is freezing." She realized she must have said something wrong and explained, "Well, I didn't know. I'm new at this job." Now that both airlines are nothing but memories, we may find ourselves looking back on National Airlines with almost fondness. But many years ago, when we were in a cutthroat competition with them on the New York-Miami route, the feelings were often quite hostile. On a layover, an Eastern crew in street clothes were having a meal together when the flight attendant noticed a girlfriend entering the restaurant with two men. The Eastern girl realized that it was a National crew, also in street clothes. The other girl approached the table with her crew, and it became obvious that introductions would be in order. The Eastern stewardess said in a low voice to her crew, "Don't bother to get up. They're only National." At the Miami base, we were quite proud of our chief pilot's office. I must qualify that statement quickly, since it was not unusual to have friction between the office and the line pilots. The pride I'm referring to was directed toward the female contingent. Chief pilots might come and go, but deep in the inner office, Betty reigned supreme. Completely unflappable, she handled all problems smoothly and efficiently. In fact, the word got around that if you wanted to get something done, talk to Betty directly, and if it were possible and reasonable, it would get done. Then, at the other end of the office, shielding it from the rude world, was Dottie's desk. She helped with all the 101 details and details of pilots' lives, passes to and from other bases and to ground schools, time off for medical reasons, insurance problems, physical exams, and such things. At one time, I worked in the training department, and we had a little meeting room for orals and paperwork right adjoining Dottie's office. Over and over, I'd be in the room when a crew from another base arrived. They had to walk past Dottie's desk to come into the training room. Then I'd hear the comments like, "Hey, wow, how come we don't have something like that at our base?" I still recall one exchange. First pilot said, "Boy, she's pretty as a picture." The second pilot said, "Yeah, nice frame too." Or this interesting comment, "Golly, a girl like that could ruin a man if he was lucky." I guess most of us have encountered people who move to a different place and either consciously or unconsciously adopt the accents and voice mannerisms of the new location. The most extreme case I've experienced was a boy in my hometown that I grew up with. He spent less than a year in England during the war and came home with a strong British accent. On Eastern, we sometimes saw a Brooklyn boy move to the Atlanta base, and before you knew it, he was saying, "You all," and "Show enough." One time we were sitting in the crew room at the Boston base, and a girl working in crew sked sat down and chatted with us. She mentioned something about her car, but she pronounced it in that strange Boston manner, "Ka," with the A pronounced like the A in cat. One of our crew remarked that she must be solid gold Bostonian, judging by her accent. She blushed a little and admitted she had only been there a few months. I'm not really solid gold Bostonian. I'm just gold plated. Here's a story that a former Electra crew can understand. We remember how temperamental that aircraft was about maintenance. There was a saying that every trip started with the crew chief with a logbook and its long string of write-ups, waiting for the captain and asking the captain if he wanted to take the trip or make repairs. One of the critical gauges was the turbine inlet temperature, or better known as the TIT gauge. Usually, it's a no-go item. On a trip approaching Washington, the pilot tried to radio in that the number one TIT was not working, but the girl radio operator would not repeat the message back. The crew had to wait until they were all at the gate to advise maintenance. They found out later that the radio operator was a well-brought-up young lady who would not let any fresh pilot force her into indelicate, sexy talk over the radio. Recalling and repeating these little stories is a bittersweet experience. I chuckle at the sayings and reactions of our old associates, but then a blue mood sneaks in when I realize that those days and many of the people are gone forever. Melancholy poets have described such feelings as, I have had crewmates, I have had companions in my young days, those long gone work days. All are gone, the old familiar faces. But then I realized that such a feelings are unmanly and unbecoming a former captain. And I recall another great poet, and he said in his poem, how dull it is to pause and make an end, to rust unblemished and not shine in use. Age is yet its honor and its toil. Some work of noble nature may yet be done, not unbecoming men who strove with gods. We have not now the strength of former days that moved earth and heaven, but what we are strong in will to survive and seek and not to yield. And then maybe my phone will ring and I'll hear the cheery voice of Captain Orville Bivens. Is this the Red Baron of the Redlands? I'm coming down to take you to lunch. The Red Baron business refers to the Bright Red Pit special, and the area that I live in is known as the Redlands. And then I'm all cheered up again. Well, that's the story written by Captain Hank Foley. But to add to Hank's amusing remembrance, your editor at that time, yours truly was the editor of the magazine. And I recall a funny experience involving Captain Mark Britt, who was so popular among the co-pilots that he always had a senior, experienced crew to fly with. It was a privilege for them to do everything to make Mark's trip easy and enjoyable. They would tune in the radio frequency, set the course indicator, and provide maps and charts. Mark never had occasion to even open his briefcase. Someone thought it would be clever to put a brick in his flight bag, because he never opened it. Everyone snickered as Mark carried his bag with a brick inside. Pleased with the joke that they had just done, they thought it would be twice as funny to put a second brick in. Poor old Mark, though he had arthritis, carrying such a heavy bag. But then one day he happened to open it and discovered the bricks inside. Somehow he found out who did it. So he went to the storage room where the flight bags were kept, located the culprit's bag, emptied it, nailed it to the floor with large headed nails, then returned the contents to the bag. The unsuspecting co-pilot tore the handle off trying to pick up his bag. So it was Mark Britt, after all, who was the most clever and who had the last laugh. Well, that's story number one for today's From the Eastern Files. And we have another story read by Mr. Howard Mucci. And Howard has recorded this, and so we'll play it at this time. It's called A DC-3 Story. Again, this story was taken out of the Best of Repartee book that was assembled from many, many stories over the years, many years, of the retired Eastern Airlines Association's write-ins and stories sent in to that great publication. So let's listen to Howard as he recalls the DC-3 story.
DC-3 Days, a true story. One day, shortly after the end of World War II, Bud Vandenford, station manager at Nashville, had just closed out Flight 181 and returned to his desk to take care of some paperwork when N stalked one of the control tower operators. Normally, this individual was a quiet, easygoing, happy-go-lucky guy. But not this day. He skipped the normal greetings and, with a very definite "I've been had" expression on his face, blurted out, "Who was that clown on Flight 181? Bud thought better of giving out the names of the under the circumstances and asked what happened. The visitor then continued, "Well, that so-and-so called back after I gave him his ATC clearance and the weather information and said he was new on this run and would be most grateful if I tell him the way from here to Birmingham. I told him to hold just a minute. I'd get my charts and give him a heading. But before I could do so, he came back to me and said, 'Hold on, Tower. I don't want one of those, any of that degree stuff. Just point me in the right direction.' Well, by this time, Bud was approaching the choking stage, but somehow managed to ask what happened next. 'Well,' said his visitor, 'I'd given him clearance for takeoff on runway 20 left, and since takeoff on this runway was just about the right heading for Birmingham, I pointed out those two hills a few miles south of the field, and he assured me he could see them. So I said, "Well, then fly directly between them and that you'd be right on course." Then he said, "The captain's reply to these instructions was, 'Man, that is exactly what I wanted. Thanks a million. You are a gentleman and a scholar. See you next trip.' Well, as you may have guessed, Bud completely cracked up at this point, and his visitor became so upset that he left without learning that he had been had by the old master himself, Captain George E. Boost, naturally."
We hope you enjoyed these great Eastern stories selected from the Eastern Files for today's broadcast. And if you'd like to contribute a story from your Eastern days, and in your own voice, just as Howard Mucci that just read. And by the way, Howard is 94 years old, and he still has a pretty good voice. But just as Howard read the story you just heard, you can send in your story to us as well, and we'll broadcast it in this time slot. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear your stories. Now, how can you do that? Well, it's simple. Email. Only thing you have to do, if you've got a computer, all you have to do is go to your all applications and click down all of the programs that you've got, and you'll see a program called either a voice recorder or a recorder, and it depends on what type of computer you have, but you'll see that because most all computers have that, and most all computers also have a built-in speaker and a microphone. And so using the computer's microphone, just read your story. And if you want to edit it again, if you didn't like the way it sounded, then read it again. The story that I read, story number one, that ladies can be funny, I think I read that about three or four times before I was satisfied. And then the phone rang and messed the third recording. So then I decided to do it live like I just read, and I don't think it turned out too bad. But by golly, just sit down. If you're not satisfied, keep it to yourself. But we'd like to hear your stories, time, and it's kind of like sending us a voice email. You can just send it to host@EALRadioshow. That's host@EALRadioshow.com. And by the way, most all of the computer files are set up in a MP3. That's MP3 file, which is audio. And that's the file we use to insert music and sound effects and recordings like Howard just submitted. And they turn out pretty good. So we'd like to hear from you with your story, and by golly, take part in our show. We don't take calls. We do on Monday night, and at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You'll hear us every Monday. We try to come up with an entertaining story. I think the last, our shows, I think the last two or three episodes have been really neat because one was Ed Wiegel, the president of the New Eastern Airlines. And we'll be hearing more and more about the New Eastern Airlines as we broadcast our shows. And we want to keep you posted as to what's happening. If you missed that show with Ed, it was episode 273. Go to the website, our website, our radio show's website, EALradioshow.com, and click on episode 273. And you'll learn a great deal about what's happening at the New Eastern Airlines. They are doing a tremendous job there. And one heck of a job that we're all, when I say we, the old pioneers, will all be proud from what they're doing and the recognition they're getting so far. And so we're rooting for them. And I think they're, the name Eastern is in really good hands. So, oh, by the way, Ed did encourage all the pioneers, the former Eastern people, to visit their building 5A in Miami. It's right at the, let's see, that would be the northeast corner of the International Airport, Miami International. And you can drive in. There's an entrance there, and there's no guard gate. You can drive right around the backside of that building. And when you do go in, though, make sure that you'll be carrying your driver's license because they do ask for identification. And go up to the fourth floor and visit with the New Eastern headquarters. The personnel there are just absolutely great, wonderful people. And you'll feel just like you are part of the New Eastern Airlines without a paycheck. But by golly, you'll be proud at what you see. So we're happy to bring this to you in the form of a new radio series that we call the Eastern Files. And that's what we'll talk about here. Stories and news happening at Eastern, both former and present. So that's our show. We made it in about a half hour, and by golly, I'm going to give myself a round of applause. And with that, we'll sign off with our new selected sign-off song. I enjoy it, and I always like to hear John Denver play his guitar. So let's leave on a jet plane.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you wait for me. Hold me like you've never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to stay. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh babe, I hate to go. I hate to go.
Until next week and another broadcast from the Eastern Files, we say so long, Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.